Jesus, thank you that we can remain inside you now. Lord, and those of us who struggle, Lord, to be so close to anyone because we are still ashamed. We feel we're too broken. I pray, Lord, that they will really experience you just sitting next to them, standing behind them, with your hands on our shoulders. Thank you, Lord, that you are just here with us, Lord. And for those of us, Lord, who have really just trusted and have just stepped inside of you, Lord God, I pray that tonight, Lord, that we will stay there and that we will experience how it feels to be at one with Christ. You in us, Christ in us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that that experience, that knowledge, that deep, that cries out to deep, Lord God, that connection with you, Lord, that it will fuel a desire daily, that we will keep coming back to this place, Lord, where we feel our hands clench and our tummies sometimes go into knots and our minds run wild, Lord. I pray that we will come back to this place, turn inwards to where you are. Teach us, Lord, take us on a journey, Lord God, that we will be a people that is found in Christ. Amen. This morning when I woke up and prayed or just sat with the Lord, the first song, there was a song in my heart and it was this stirring up deep, deep wells. I really believe God wants to take us deeper. He wants to stir deep things. I want to share a vision with you. It doesn't really have anything to do with the sermon, maybe it does, that I got on Friday morning. When I sat down with the Lord, as I was outside overlooking the mountains as the sun rose, and I forgot for a moment that we got a new president that day, but the Lord said to me, as the sun rises in the east, so I am rising over your country. My light will flood the plains and touch dark places and transform it to light. Nothing will remain hidden or in the shadows. The heat of my flames will burn away the wicked and evilness. The only place to hide is under my wings. And I feel God says to us as a people, as his people, come and sit at my feet. Come and hide in this next season. Lots of exciting things are going to happen in our country. There's a lot of prophecies we can feel. We know that things are going to change. We know God is going to do it. And we are so grateful to be a part of it. But I really believe God is saying, come sit with me. Just come sit under my wings. Stuff is going to happen, but we need to be close to Jesus so that he can protect us. Okay. Tonight's, next slide, please. Tonight's, I don't know what's it called in English, in Afrikaans, it's a text vers. The scripture of the evening. It's John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So most of you have joined us in our Daniel fast. We had a Daniel fast just a couple of weeks, two weeks ago. And the focus was really just to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And we're continuing on that path. We're going to do a 40 days of prayer, like a course almost. The small group leaders all received books like this. It's not for themselves. It's to take the small groups through. So, yeah, if you're in a small group, you're going to work with your small group leader for 6 weeks through this. And our messages on Sundays and everything will circle around this prayer thing. It is not a coincidence. Many of you have come to me in the last while and said, what's happened to intercession? Why aren't we praying on an evening in the week anymore? And people are concerned, and I'm like, God is working, because last year already, in November, many people started praying. I know me and my prayer partner, we started praying for the church because we knew that something was lacking with regards to prayer and our prayer life as a church. And we know that God says in Isaiah 56 or 7, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And we used to have a very vibrant, it was something that we're really known for. And we all, the intercession didn't happen anymore as a set date on the calendar. And people started panicking because they don't go, but they want to know that somebody prays for them. The reason they didn't go, they stopped it because nobody went anymore, not even me. So everybody was very worried, but we prayed, and all over the church, people have been praying about this. It's so beautiful. We don't know about each other, but I'm telling you, you have been praying, and God has heard us, and He's doing something. It is not something that the committee is going to do, or HQ, or whoever. God is going to, what's the word? It's going to be organic. It's going to be Spirit-led. It's going to be amazing. And He is busy making a plan, and He's busy raising prayer warriors. And yes, it will again be announced, but it will be announced when God says so. And in the meantime, you have no idea how many people are praying on a regular week for us as a church. It's amazing. And now we're doing this 40 days of prayer. So God is stirring even the sheep. So in the next 4 weeks, we're going to work through this book. You're going to learn things like why do we pray, have confidence to pray, pray for breakthrough, pray in crisis. It's going to be a lot of, it will feel like Bible school. It will be to help us in our, because we all have an idea of prayer. We're going to talk about it now. You're going to have your chance to talk now. And then we're all going to have an idea of prayer and how it should work. But the Bible is a very specific teaching, and we just need to now and again get back to that, just to align ourselves with what the Word says. And I'm not going to do any of that tonight because I teach that at Bible school. The free sessions are over. Sorry, guys. This week is going to be cool, but you have to pay. Okay, so... We're talking about praying in the power of the Holy Spirit this week. So you can still register. But just take 5 minutes. There's five questions. I think there's four up on there. I forgot to put one on. So I'm giving you 5 minutes for the five questions. Okay? And you're going to talk to each other. So you'll have like 30 seconds per question. Well, do you pray? That's going to be quick, yes or no. If you say no, then you don't have to answer any of the rest. Then we'll pray for you. And then just when and how do you pray? In other words, how does it look? Just tell your friends, I pray when I wake up in the morning or when I walk to school or when I don't know, we all have a time or a place. Some of you just say, you know, I pray or I just speak in tongues all day long, whatever. Just share with each other how your prayer life looks or maybe sound. Some people doesn't sound like anything. They just pray in their minds. And then what do you pray about? Just share that quickly. Some of you just pray for rain. I mean, it's on your heart and you cry out for that all the time. Just tell them what the thing that's in the forefront of your prayers. And then the last two questions, really important. You have to get to those. Maybe answer that first. Do you feel that you clearly hear God? And what is your expectation for this 40 days of prayer? What do you expect? Okay, go. Grab a friend. Okay. Well, 5 minutes is up. I trust most of you got through. I timed you. What's the use of having all these cool things on your phone if you can't use them? Okay, so my answers, I pray, yes. When and how do I pray? I actually want to tell you, when I started praying when I was little, when I got saved somewhere in primary school. But my prayers, I was very confused at that stage because I handled the Word completely. I got saved, but no one discipled me. So my prayers is very selfish. You know, a bird would fall out of a tree and I'd try to nurse it back to health and then I'd pray fervently and then it would die. And then I wouldn't get it because God says in John 14, there's a scripture there. I think it's the next one. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do for you. You know, the Bible says so, and now the bird dies. But obviously the next bit, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, I didn't even know what that meant, so I just kind of skipped that. It must be done for me. Or what other scripture? Psalm 37 verse 4, we all know. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you desires of your heart. So at that stage, I got saved because my parents took me to a charismatic church, and there we heard about committing your life to the Lord. You're not just saved because you've been in church. You know, you're not a car because you sleep in a garage. You have to actually. So, but the pastor's son was like a little bit older than me, and he was the drummer. So I had a huge crush on him, and I wanted to go to church every week. But I heard the gospel, and I received the Holy Spirit because, you know, God makes everything work together for you. Even your sinful desires. And then his parents wanted to move away, and I prayed fervently that they won't move. That was maybe in the Lord's will because they didn't. But but that psalm, it was like, you know, He shall give you the desires of your heart. I had no idea what it means to delight myself in the Lord, and because I didn't understand it, I just didn't care. I just focused on that one part. Or Jeremiah 29 verse 11, we love to quote that. It says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we hold on to that and we pray it, but we don't read further, because then it says, you will call upon me and you will go and pray to me and I will listen to you and you will seek me and find you when you search for me with all your heart. Now that part, I just skipped it, you know. That sounds too difficult. So, but I used to pray like that. And I think many of us, maybe some of you can identify with that. It's like a puzzle. You know, if you've got a box full of puzzle pieces and you open it up, you have no idea what the picture is going to be unless you peeped in the front. You know, if you looked in the front. But I put my children's puzzles in plastic bags, so the pictures, they aren't there. Not because I want to trick them, just because it's easier to store. So it looks like that. I write on the front because they can't read. Mickey Mouse, horses, whatever. So, but we handle the word like this sometimes. We pick up a piece and we're like, yes, and then we go with it. And then things doesn't work out and we don't understand. We don't know. And then we throw it back and we take another piece. And we, you know, that's how we are Christians. We deal with the word like that. Now, I used to deal with the word like that, but that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to see the picture. The next slide. There's a picture. Christ is hidden in the Word. And we need to build the whole picture. And I don't know, but if my girl, she's 4, she can build 50-piece puzzles. I think that's pretty impressive. And most of us can do a lot by ourselves. But if you want to see Christ, you know, that's like a million, quadrillion-piece puzzle. We need help. So if she's got a really big puzzle, she wants to build them all the time, the big ones, then I have to sit with her. And then I have to say, you know, kids, we go. Now you start with the edges and then the corners. That's how I build puzzles. And then the edges. And then it's easy to do the rest. They don't work like that. They just start. And that's okay because the puzzle gets built either way. And I want to encourage you when it comes to handling the word, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to spending time with the Lord, please we need to find our own way. We're different. God deals with us differently. I shared it this morning, but my son is 8 and we want to teach him to have quiet time. They have no idea and what's expected of us, you know, sit and read the Bible and pray this long prayer. And no. So, and he can't even read properly. We're homeschoolers. We're a bit behind. Sorry. So so I write out the scripture for him, just one verse. And then he sits and we read the scripture and then he draws whatever he feels he needs to draw that will illustrate that scripture. And often because it's the Bible, it's a piece of puzzle and he's like, Mom, I don't know what this means. And I'm like, I don't know either, but let's ask the Lord. And he doesn't want to pray in the Spirit yet. He's not there. It's weird for him. But I'm allowed to. So I put my hand on him and I pray in the Spirit for a minute. And then he's like, I got something, Mom. And then he draws that. But that's his quiet time. Some of you need to do that. Maybe you're wired that way and you feel sinful if you want to draw for God. No, don't. It's all worship unto him. Some of us dance before the Lord. So I want to encourage you, because I think I'm going to get to it later, but for some of us, quiet time or time with the Lord feels like something I need to tick off my to-do list so that I can stop feeling guilty. Because if I'm a good Christian, I need to do that. And I want to encourage you tonight. I'm running ahead of myself. Okay, so I don't pray like that anymore. I've read a little bit more Bible. I can now hear the shepherd's voice, so he tells me that peace goes there. No, turn it around. Yeah, now you see the picture better. Okay, and we need to hear his voice to help us build the picture, to help us discover him in the Word and in our lives. So what does my prayer life look like? I pray in the mornings, during the day. I pray in the Spirit mostly because it's hard to speak to the kids and to myself, which I also have to do. And because you have to, the Old Testament, David speaks to his soul all the time. It's healthy to speak to your soul. My kids often ask me, Mama, hoe kom praat jy met jouself? I don't know what to say to them. And then, something I've started doing, when I put Judah to bed in the afternoons, I have to lie with him for a little bit. Because it's nice to lie down for a little bit in the afternoons. But usually by that time, I'm quite filled with emotions and things. You know, your life do that to you. And then you're like, and then I breathe deeply. And then because I can't speak, he must fall asleep now. Then I try to find Christ inside of me. I try to imagine, I know I sound like a hippie, but then I go inside and I go, Jesus, where are you? And I let go of the anger, or I let go of the frustration and all the things. I let it go and I breathe deeply and I go to that place where I can find him, where I can feel his presence. So when Judah falls asleep and I get up, I've spent time with the Lord. I prayed. I heard from him. Okay, so that's what it looks like. Do I hear God? Clearly, I know I hear God clearly, but I must admit, and I think a lot of you feel the same way, I struggle often. It's work for me. It's hard work. I have to fight through a lot of distractions, and I have to fight through a lot of open tabs in my mind. I envy some men. They have that nothing box thing. I do not have one. I have searched my mind. There is not an empty space. And I desire that place of quietness. I struggle to hear God's voice often. It's hard work for me, and I know that's not God's desire for us to work so hard to hear him. And my expectation for the 40 days prayer, I don't want to pray more. We're going to pray more, but I that's not my focus. I don't want to pray more, spend more time in what I think is expected of me as a Christian in Bible study or anything. I want to, at the end of this 40 days, say, it's quiet in here, even though it's busy out there. And I want to say, I hear him. I hear his voice. I know what he's telling me. I hear him daily. I can be in the midst of a fight with my kids. I can be in the midst of a musical rehearsal. I can be in the midst of a traffic jam, and I can hear him. I don't have to take my eyes off the cars in front of me. I can just hear him. That's what my expectation is, and that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. Maybe you feel like you handle the Word like a puzzle. You need the help of the author. Maybe you feel like your prayer life is mostly, like mine, a long monologue. You know, I go out. I forgot to tell you what I pray about. I have like a little thing. Mondays, I pray for myself. Tuesdays, it's for the husband and the kids. Wednesdays, it's for small group people and the people in my house, because I now live with lots of people. Community living is great. And then Thursdays, it's the church, yes, and Thursdays I get together with my friends, and Friday, so there's this thing every day of the week so that I don't forget, because we feel guilty because I don't know about you, but I feel burdened with the plight of the world. And we're Christian, things should touch us. When we go out and you see, I mean, if the beggars and the hurt and the corruption and the evil of this, the human trafficking, if it doesn't bother us, we've just grown hard and cold. So these things bother us and they weigh on us, and we know we should pray about them because it's the only way we can get peace. But we don't get to do all those things, and you get a million prayer requests on WhatsApp every day, you know? Oh, Johannes, you know. And and then we feel guilty because we don't pray. We just send those little hands back. You're laughing because you all do that. As if WhatsApp invented a new way to pray if you send those hands. Done. So I challenge you, do not send the hands or the thumbs up unless you've actually prayed. Because that means it's done. I prayed for you. I stopped. I heard the words. You know what will be easy? Just to stop. Do I hear something from the Lord? And just speak that over the situation. And then you can send the hands. Okay? Because we feel guilty. That's why I have a little roster what I pray for. And if I oversleep that morning, it happens, then in that week, I don't pray for myself. Okay. So maybe your prayer is just a long monologue. And I really feel like that. I pray. And then my time's up. And then God wants to go, there I go. Then he hasn't had his chance. Maybe, like I say, maybe prayer time or time of the Lord is like a to-do list for you. It doesn't feel like a date. Tonight in worship felt like a date with the Lord. You know, some of us, those of you who are still in love, it was so cute this morning, I asked who are still engaged or in love, and then Dale said, because I immediately thought the married people's not going to respond. They forgot how it felt to be like all excited to see your lover or whatever, your engaged person or your boyfriend, I don't know what you call it. because you can't wait to hear what they're saying and you can't wait to speak to them. And that's how our time with the Lord should be. But it's not like that. And it should be like that. And it can be like that. And maybe you are overwhelmed with everything that is on your plate. And we feel guilty about that as well. Because we're not supposed to be overwhelmed by everything that we have to do. I have good news for you. Jesus was incredibly busy. He was incredibly busy. Because I feel so guilty. Because I just know I have to let go of something. I have to let go of something. I need to, you know, I need to be rustiger. I need to be more at peace. But I can't let go of my husband. I can't let go of my kids. I can't let go of the house. I can't let go of my church things that I know God has called me to do. I can't let go of what? That's about it. And that takes all my time. Work. You can't let go of your work. You get, you know. So you feel frustrated and you feel guilty because you need to let go of something, but you don't know how to let go of it. And there's an answer to all those things. The answer is Isaiah 30, verse 15. In quietness, where is it? You have to look for it, Vian. I don't think it's after this one. Thank you. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, not Esther, the Lord God. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Isn't that beautiful? It doesn't matter how busy we are. In returning to the Lord, in resting in the Lord, in quietness and confidence shall be our strength. So won't it be so precious, much more precious, that at the end of this 40 days, that we can say, we are quiet inside. And outside. How are we going to do it? I want to just, can we play that little video quickly? Some of you have seen it. I sent it to the small groups. But I want you to see it. I hope it plays. It didn't want to play this morning. Let's see.
Pika. Hey, good.
Isn't that just, I cried when I saw it the first time. We know Jesus says that. Did you notice, we know that the sheep follows the shepherd's voice, but did you notice they didn't even look up at the other voices? They just kept on grazing. It's something we need to learn because we listen to the other voices too much. They don't even look up. And then they hear the shepherd and they look at him and then they speak and then they follow him and it's beautiful. So how are we going to do it? Two things. We need to get tired. We need to ask God, since we ask him to make us tired of the other voices. You know, I'm so tired of hearing my own voice, yet here I am. I keep going. like the other day, I was running around the house. I was like, hou op om vir Lily te slaan. Simon, doen dit. This and this and this. And then I'm like, these people living in the house with me, they must be so tired of my voice. Because I just talk all the time. A year and a half ago, I had to go to remove nodules from my voice. Box, voice, stem bander. And when I entered the ENT's office, the ear, nose, and throat person, because they told me, go and see an ENT. I'm like, what? What's that? The doctor. And then he heard my voice and he said, are you a teacher or a preacher? I'm like, I'm a little bit of both. He said, it's going to be hard to get you back to health because you need to keep quiet to rest your voice. So, yeah, we need to get tired of other voices and especially our own voice. And we have to have a sincere desire. Yes, the Lord wants us to tell him everything. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, the things that bother us, we should unburden before the Lord. We should leave it there. But I'm sometimes even tired of my list that I take to the Lord because the word also says, I know what you want even before you ask me. And then the other thing we need to do is we need to become unhurried. I want to tell you the story. John Ortland is a well-known American preacher and he writes books. And he moved from a small church to he got a position at a very big church. The big church's staff was more than the sheep of his previous church. So it was a big, big move for him. And he felt the weight of the responsibility. So he went to his mentor, Douglas Willard. Some of you have read some of his books. An old guy lived in a small town. And he drove there and he was going to spend the whole day with Douglas Willard to get some spiritual nuggets, to get some advice as how to deal with this incredibly difficult, big challenge that's lying ahead of him. You know, all these people he needs to shepherd. So he had his notebook and everything. And then Douglas Willard says, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And he wrote it down. He said, next. Okay, I've got that. What's the next thing? He said, no, that's all. That's all. Doesn't matter how busy you are, doesn't matter how much you have to do, ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And I got such a revelation because busyness, Jesus was also busy, but he was never hurried. Busyness has got to do with our outward circumstances, our diaries. Yes, of course, there's stuff in your diary that shouldn't be there, and the Lord can tell you and you can cancel those appointments. But a lot of things, like I say, the things that I need to take care of is legit things. I can't leave any of those. Then I will be disobedient to the Lord. But it keeps me busy. But Jesus was never hurried because being hurried, if you're in a hurry, it's a condition of the soul. And the symptom of being hurried, if you want to know whether you're hurried or not, is if you're preoccupied. In Afrikaans, it's jy is beset. Someone is trying to phone you, but you're not available. And I had to, this morning before the service, I had to repent to a couple of people. Because I'm so aware of the fact that whenever somebody's trying to connect, to get my attention, I'm always in my mind busy with the next thing that I need to get to, the next child that needs attention, the next. I'm not present in the moment. And that we need to long for the shepherd's voice, and then we need to, and he needs to do the work in us. We need to ask him to deliver us from preoccupation and hurriedness. So I just have here a couple of practical points that might help you. Like I said, we're all different and we need to go to the Lord and ask Him again to show you what is your thing that you two do. To treat the Lord like a brother and a friend. What I do when I spend quiet time or something, because like I said, the minute I wake up, I'm like a computer, all the tabs open. So I have a little piece of paper and I do a brain dump on it. So when I go to sit with the Lord, and the devil helps me greatly in this regard, my enemy, because then he reminds me of all the things that needs to be done and all the people that needs to be prayed for and everything. I just write it down. He's a great secretary. Just write it down. Thank you. Thank you. And then he stops. And so I just dump everything that's in my brain out there. Get it on a piece of paper or, I don't know, record it on your phone. It's quicker. Just to get it out of your mind. And then to ask the Lord to read scripture. Just ask the Lord. Scripture has got an amazing way to calm us down or just to fill our minds, because you've just put everything out of your mind, and just to fill your mind with scripture. And then actually to pray and say, Lord, show me something. Show me Jesus. Show me where this puzzle piece goes. We were in the camp this weekend and I love what Wemyani said. Many of you will remember, but he said he reads the word every morning until he finds something to do. Until it finds something that it says he must go and do, or something that he feels convicted about. Then he closes the Bible and then he goes and he does it, and he gives himself 24 hours. We only have today to do what the Lord says. So if you know you need to forgive somebody, there's a couple of hours left. Today is the day. Read your script, whatever, and then ask a question. We're just going to practice to hear the Lord's voice. So just ask a question. Either it's a question about what you've read. Lord, I don't understand this bit about, I don't know, whatever it is. Explain it to me or tell me. And then the difficult part, then you have to wait and be quiet. For me, it's hard to be quiet. So what I do is, here's my trick. I pray in the spirit so that my mouth is still going, but my mind is empty. So I just pray in the spirit. And the Lord then can speak to me. So that's for those of us who struggle to be quiet, is to just pray in the spirit softly and to just wait. And then write down or even speak to yourself. Amos 8 verse 1. God did this to the prophets. He says, it's not on there. Sorry, Vian, I got it just before the service. And it's just an example. You will find it anywhere with the prophets. The Lord says, thus the Lord of God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And then God says, Amos, what do you see? So I said, a basket of summer fruit. He does that with the holy fancy prophets. He'll do it with you as well. So if you see something, then say, Lord, I saw a river and a tree. Did I see right? God will tell you, yes, but there's also a sheep under the tree. Look again, or whatever. So talk like that to God. He shows you stuff and he's going to check. Do you see it? And if he gives you direction, because sometimes God will tell you something to do or to say, or like he showed me that we're going to move. And it's going to be to a place like this and this. And I was like, ooh, this is a long word and it's... So I took that to my prayer friend and I said, I feel this, I'm not sure. And we prayed for 2 weeks about it. We just left it, gave it to the Lord, and then he came and confirmed it. He said, no, it was me speaking. And then I was like, okay, so your will is for us to move. So then I started praying that God will move us. That's the other thing. He's going to show you stuff, and then you must actually pray that it happens. I know, it's amazing, but it works like that. Daniel had to pray for the end of the balangskap, what they call that, to come to pass. So for the next 40 days, I really want us to, while we're working through this prayer thing, I want to challenge you to practice His presence, practice hearing His voice, and then to ask Him about a specific thing. I want us to pray Psalm 139. Let's just read it. The first bit of Psalm 139 says, Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Okay? He knows you without the makeup on. Even without those panties that take everything in. Some of you wear them already, I know. God knows you without that. Get comfortable. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. He knows how you sleep. He knows I put a pillow here and a pillow there. And a, you know, some of us are so ashamed of things we do. God knows it. I'm not going to say this. Are you acquainted? you comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me in, behind, and before. Then there's a whole piece about how good God knows you. And then the last bit of the psalm says, thanks, Fionn, the next one. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind. And in Proverbs, there's a scripture that says, there's a way, the man's ways look good to him. We think it's good, but it'll lead to death if we don't ask God to show us. He knows our hearts better than we know ourselves. His spirit dwells inside. He searches us. We sometimes have no idea. We think we're so clever. We know what's going on. Our emotions is usually a very good indication that something isn't lekker. If I start screaming at the kids, or if I am upset with my husband, and it's usually without no good reason, then I know it's not them. And I have no idea what it's about. I'm a woman. I usually don't know why I'm upset about. And then I love Jacques, because he will always try to think up a reason. It's because you haven't slept well, and because the kids are really, he always tries to find excuses for why I'm acting the way I'm acting. I'm like, no, I'm just sinful. And then then I go to God, and then I pray Psalm 139, search me, Lord. There's anxieties within me. Show me. Let them come up, Lord. You know me, how I'm naked. You know what's going on inside here. We're so ashamed of our bodily form. We should be more ashamed of what goes inside here. And even if we're ashamed, we should take it before the Lord, because only He can take it away for us. You know how I see those things inside that's polluting the deep wells. I see them as a lake in English? Corpses. Now they're lying at the bottom, and we need the Holy Spirit to untie them so that they can float, so that we can see them. We need to see. Yes, but that's what it is. It's rottenness. And it pollutes our souls. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can bring them up and that can remove them. But it's your soul. You are the keeper of your soul. You need to ask the Lord, take it away. Okay. And He will do it gladly. I hope that picture stays with you. Because that's what it is. It's rottenness, and it needs to go away. Okay. The reason I want us to hear the God's word and to pray this for the next while, I'm finishing now. The reason I want us to do it, because I have noticed, a couple of us came to a realization that our church have been under attack. Nobody noticed, because the attack happened solely in people's minds. We had a regular get-together prayer thing on Thursday, and there were four other ladies. All of them are like leaders in the church. And we were just talking like girls do before they pray. They talk to each other and sharing things that we're going through. And then I just heard this strand that came through. It's like an offense thing. All of us have had people been offended with us, or we have been offended, or people have been hurt, or people have even just compared themselves to us and have been hurt. And then I realized I personally have experienced very specific attacks from the enemy in my mind, but I didn't give it a second thought, because every time I caught it and threw it out. And then I was like, guys, this is happening to not just me and you. This is happening in the church. And then God showed me a picture of, you know, in the olden days, then the armies come to the castle, and then they all take the arrows and they light it with fire, and they go, and then it's like all these arrows, it's like black. The sky is black. It makes this noise. You know what I'm talking about. You all watch movies. And the arrows go over, and it like kills like 100 guys. But that's the picture that I saw, that the enemy is unleashed. Wat is die versamelnaam vir pyle? Huh? Lots of arrows. A flock of arrows. Who's the English teachers in this class? Okay, you guys know what I'm trying to say. Okay. And maybe you're thinking, no, I didn't receive anything. Let's just give you an example. A friend of mine, she does a lot of things. She's in the same kind of ministries as me. She works with a kid. She's good at Bible school. A couple of things that I do, she does really well. And I've actually prayed for more help, and she's kind of stepped in. And she was an answer to prayer, but I remember specifically the thought coming into mind that says, she's taking your place. Huh? And I was like, where does this come from? But fortunately, I realized it's the enemy. I took it captive. I threw it out, and I said, thank God for that woman. Thank God for her gifts. Thank God. And another girl, I can't remember exactly what the enemy said because it happened last year, and I threw it out, and I really can't remember. She, Lorita, you know her. She works with my husband. She's his right-hand girl. But she sees him a lot more than I do. But she's also a great friend of mine. And she's such a help to me because my husband doesn't speak a lot. So I get to know what's going on at work through Lorita. It's great. She gives me all this inside info and how. So I get to share in their life. But I remember specifically how the enemy just planted little thoughts of jealousy. And our friendship would have been ruined if I let it. But blessed, God blessed. He showed me it's an enemy. And I took it and I threw it out and there's no hurt, no harm done. And there was another thing that happened. I can't remember the other thing. But it's thoughts like that. Thoughts of comparison. Thoughts of jealousy. Thoughts of, that's the other thing. Magrit is a great friend of mine, but guys, she's busy. And she needs friends. And there's other women that's able to see her more. And I had that thought of, she's not my friend anymore. She doesn't spend time with me anymore. And I was like, where does this come from? She bought me these pretty shoes today. She's still my friend. But I just knew this is so from the devil. Because I am truly and honestly happy that she's got friends supporting her. I am not able to see her that much. And it doesn't matter. We love each other. We don't have to see each other every second of the day. Some of you are going through that same things with your friends and your family, and it's from the enemy. He sent an attack. And I saw in worship today, you know, Robin Hood. You know that the bad guy, he hits the arrow, he hits the bullseye with an arrow because he wants to kiss Maid Marian. And then Robin Hood comes, and he stands even further, and he shoots the arrow, and it splits the enemy's arrow. I saw a picture of that. God wants to come with his arrow and his word when you ask him to speak to you to destroy the work of the enemy. And you know why he wants to do it? Because John 17, Jesus prayed for us, and he said, I want them to be one. I want them to be one so that the world will know that they're mine and that I really came and that I'm going to change things. So it's part of what God is doing in our country. He wants to make the church one. And guys, we're not going to let the enemy divide us. So we're going to pray now, and I think that's why the worship was so powerful. I really believe God wants you to hear him. And if he shows you stuff, just be obedient. Just go to whoever and repent. Even if you went wrong, just be the least. Some people will say, like this morning when I repented, she was so gracious. She was like, I was never offended. I'm like, thank you so much. But some people are going to cry and say, yes, it really hurt me. And allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing. It's not about their response. It's about us being obedient so that the Holy Spirit can take those corpses, those arrows of the devil out of us. Okay. Lord, thank you that we know that the battle for our souls, Lord God, is waged in our minds. It's waged in our hearts, Lord God. It's not on the outside. And we thank you, Lord, that you live on the inside. We thank you, Lord, that you said, greater is he that is living in me than he that is in the world. And tonight, Lord, we take that truth. And we say, Lord, you are greater. then the enemy's arrows that enter our hearts. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to hear your voice, to help us to see where the enemy has hurt us, Lord. Some of us are not even aware of it. But Lord, we desire that you will make us one again. We desire for truth in the inward parts. Thank you for our lives, Lord God, that we are involved, that we can be busy, that we are busy with your work. Come and teach us, Lord, how to not hurry. Come and teach us to look inwards, to find you there. And tonight, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will show us what is in our heart. Show us the arrows that have wounded us. And help us, Lord, to give it to you. Help us, Lord, to just bare our chests, to allow your Holy Spirit to speak a word, to speak to us, to destroy the work of the enemy. Oh Lord, you're perfect in every way. And your ways with us are perfect, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you will remove the arrows of the enemy, Lord God, without hurting us, Lord God. Thank you that you will fix it as if it was never hurt. Thank you that you are the great physician. Thank you that you are for us and that no one can be against us.